Well, you know the documentary about Billy Madison, the brave young man who overcame his fears and went back to school so he could someday work in the family business.
And prove to Dad he's not a fool.
Yeah. In that documentary, Billy was terrorized by life-sized penguin. He even thought the penguin was trying to steal his girlfriend at one point. We recently learned that at one time, penguins like that actually existed. Researchers just found fossils of a human-sized penguin in New Zealand. The new species was 4 times as heavy and 16 inches taller than the emperor penguin, the largest living penguin. Scientists believe the penguins existed between 55 and 65 million years ago.
What? Usually when you hear stuff like this, doesn't it sound like terrifying generally? Like when you hear about like some being, it's like, holy crap, they used to have that. Bring these back because they sound adorable.
I don't know, man. Have you seen the video of the reconstruction?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say the penguin fight and how vicious they were because you kept putting your screen towards me and made me watch a penguin fight. It felt dirty afterwards.
Yeah, they were fighting to the death almost. Yeah. But yeah, it's a little more unnerving than you would think.
Really?
It's huge. I mean, it is literally the size of a person with a huge beak. I don't think you want that.
All I can picture is me and the life-size penguin, just a life-size penguin walking hand and fin or wing or whatever.
It is not.
And hanging out, having a good old time.
It does not look that appealing. Look at this guy.
I disagree. I think that looks totally awesome. Is it albino like that?
Is it all white?
I mean, there's no way you can figure out exactly what color that thing is. I have to assume it's wearing the tuxedo like all the penguins
probably now. But it looks like that would beak you right in your neck and you would die.
Only if it was a jerk. They're probably nice ones. Chances are.
Just don't take its girlfriend.
Yeah. 5:05 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Gentlemen, Jake Arrieta likely out for the season with bone spurs. He says he won't pitch again this season. Take it or leave it, the Cubs feel good now about signing Yu Darvish rather than Jake Arrieta to the same contract.
Oh, I'll take it. I think they were ready to move on from Arrieta at the time, even when he was still really good. There was a reason they didn't offer him a significant deal.
But they did. They called him, remember? Right before they signed Darvish on that Sunday, they called him and said, hey.
You want it?
Yeah. I'm talking about while he was pitching still before his contract was up, they had no interest in doing a long-term extension with him.
Yeah, I'll take it as well. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20 also. You see an injury, you're like, oh, good, we dodged a bullet on that one. So that's always nice. You know who didn't dodge something over the weekend?
Who?
Andy Dick. You guys know who Andy Dick is,
right?
I
do. Actor?
Did you
comedian?
See what happened to Andy?
No.
Dude, Andy was out at a club in New Orleans in the French Quarter over the weekend, and he got absolutely obliterated. He's standing in the video. He's standing over by a window, and a guy comes up and just unleashes the fury. A big right hand knocks him out. They're still looking for this guy. Like, can't find it. Take it or leave it. Andy Dick finally mouthed off to the wrong guy.
Take it.
And by the way, Andy Dick is alive, which you actually have to say because, it's a pretty vicious punch. But usually you don't come out and,
it looks
call
like that,
on somebody like that unless they've been popping off for a while and maybe you had enough of it. I could see Andy Dick doing something like that, maybe. Thoughts and prayers, hope he's okay.
You know, Andy
apparently has brain damage, so I'll just back up on that one.
Oh, wow.
Just a little bit of brain damage or a lot?
No, he got hit hard.
Oh, that's
that guy
good.
Came out of, he just walked up to him from several feet away.
If you said the wrong thing to the wrong person,
you still
that's
don't deserve it.
Well, yeah, and by the way, that's sheer speculation.
You can't do that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't hit anybody, though.
You can't do
Here's
that.
Here's rule number one, everybody. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah. Andy Dick used to work at Dick's Last Resort, where I used to work.
Did he ever work at Dick's Sporting Goods?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Maybe. Who knows?
He ever in the adult film industry?
I don't know. Maybe.
Just throwing out things that might
Perfect
fit.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. we were just talking about that penguin, the life-size penguin. Well, according to the estimates, it is 80 kilograms or 176 pounds. Okay, so we're talking about a penguin that is about the size of a human being, 176 pounds. And after you have seen the photo, take it or leave it, when Meat asks us all those questions about would you rather face 1,000 small penguins or one large life-size penguin, you'd rather take on the 1,000 smaller ones now.
Oh, leave it.
I'm going to take that. Yeah.
I'm gonna take it too, man.
A thousand of anything is a lot.
But 176 pound penguin.
Did you see the photo of it or what they think it was supposed to look like?
Just stab it in the heart. It'll die like any man would.
Big fella.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's like taking down a normal sized man. You can't kill a man. Could kill a man for sure.
If you kick it in the chest,
you don't get a weapon. Totally kill a man.
Would it just collapse like any typical bird?
If what?
If you just kick it in the chest, like does it?
I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
I think this might.
Again,
kick back.
A little bit
I
more.
Would refer you to the video of the penguins fighting each other and see how bloodied they both got.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide if you want to take on one that's the size of a person. I think you wouldn't want to.
I'd just grab it by the beak and break its beak off.
It'd probably bite your face off first.
Ooh, man, that would hurt.
Yeah, you don't
that
want that.
That would not be good.
It's like a monkey.
They'll rip your face off.
Yeah. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
A little more on that topic. Take it or leave it. You would rather live in a society with human-sized penguins versus a society with aliens.
I will take that because aliens are smart, and they're probably finding ways to do weird things to you, and you have no control over it.
Oh, I'm leaving it, man. I'd rather live with aliens because I do think that maybe they're smarter, or at the very least, they have different intelligence that we have, and I think it's an opportunity to learn.
I'm going
to
take it because I think we can pretty much stay away from the penguins for the summer in St. Louis. Are the penguins going to want to deal with 88-degree days where it feels like 89? No.
Word. It's too hot.
Yep.
For a penguin out here.
Take it or leave it, the Cardinals need to go with Thunder from the get-go. Goldie in the leadoff.
Oh, well, I'll take it. Yeah, that's fun.
I'm going to leave that.
I'm going to leave it as well.
I'd rather him just go back to Goldschmidt hitting second. You going to go Dexter, Goldie, Ozuna, DeJong? Fine by me. But Tommy Edman can't bat second.
I want to go Dexter, Arozarena, Thomas.
You're going Thomas three-hole, huh?
Yeah, what the hell?
Good approach. What do you call this lineup?
Bold strategy.
Oh, whatever. We'll see if this one plays out.
Take it or leave it. When St. Louis finally gets their MLS team, they will become more beloved in their first 5 years than the Rams ever were.
Leave it.
Oh, leave that for sure.
The Rams owned this town in 99, 2000, 2001. They owned it. It was the hardest ticket to get. And the Cardinals, until 2000, you know, 98, 99, they had McGuire. But the Rams were it with Warner and Bruce and Falk and all those guys. They were it.
Those are the biggest stars. The NFL is the NFL.
Yep.
It's very hard to compete with that. Even best player, if you have the best player in MLS, who is that? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Name three players.
No, I couldn't name one. And I will once they get here, and I'm excited about it, just like everybody else. I'm just talking about sheer level of pecking order.
Pele.
I don't think he's playing
Wayne
anymore.
Rooney. I saw him the other day.
Yeah, that's right.
He
Wayne
ran
Rooney.
After a ball, and he did a nice slide tackle, and then he had a great assist. That was probably for the MLS, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he's got hair.
Really?
Does he?
Yeah.
Did he get the Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, he did.
Good for
him. But he got it. It might actually be transplant hair. I don't think that's what Urlacher got.
You know, he does a really good job on the Cardinals, too.
No.
With I know he's a good soccer player, but that it's a goner when somebody hits a home run. He's great.
No, different Rooney.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wayne
guy.
Rooney, not John.
Yep.
Oh.
Different.
Okay, sorry.
John Rooney, full head of hair.
Yeah, he glorious head of hair.
Take it or leave it, Ted Williams is just out there chilling, waiting for Pobo Mo to give him a call.
I'll take it. Yeah.
I'll leave it. What the hell's wrong with you?
That's cold, man.
And what the hell's wrong with you?
Hey.
It's not nice.
Hey, don't lose your head, man. It's cool.
Oh, come on. A man died. A man died
Lots
here.
Of men died.
That's true. Every year.
Hey, my cat's hungry. Let me hit this in the head. Sorry.
Randy.
You better be kidding, Randy.
All right. All right.
Yep.
A man died many, many years ago.
Is Which man?
Ted Williams.
Oh.
Still talking about Ted. Meat brought up Ted Williams and his frozen head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's entertaining.
Yep. You know, they hit him with a monkey wrench to try to separate
him.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
Yeah. You can tune a Ted Williams head, but you can't tune a fish.
Randy. What are we trying to do here?
The splendid winter.
Randy.
Who's going to be the next star to have their head cryogenically frozen? Who do we think that's going to be?
Star.
Who seems so eccentric that
I would have thought Michael Jackson would have. Maybe he did.
Yeah, but he fell asleep on the job.
Really weird. Yeah, he did.
Wow. What? Do you think it's easier to do that if, in fact, you get decapitated?
What's that?
Like, that's how you... No. Just to say, you know what? Freeze that. Fine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, instead of actually having to cut it off, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, somebody said we need to put that subject on ice. That's the 314. Appreciate that.
Yep. Speaking of ice, Joey Vitale's next.
Oh, yeah. The blues analyst and an all-around great guy is with us next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. BT, Ronge, Randy, and we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And our friend, Stanley Cup champion blues analyst Joey Vitale is with us. And late in the summer, as we're about a month away from the first training camp game, preseason game. Joey, thanks for taking some time with us. Hope the summer's going well.
Hey, guys, how you doing? The summer's been great. It's been quick. It's been very, very quick. A quick turnaround for us broadcasters, let alone I can't really imagine what the players are going through. It's a very tough grind. I actually skated with Pat Maroon a week and a half ago, and you can just tell from how he was skating and moving, his body is just still hurting. Going that deep in the playoffs, it's no joke. So these players, short little rest, but I know they're mentally excited to get the year going again.
Joey, I know that in talking to Prongs, he had several years of headaches when he would skate. How are you now when you skate? Do you have any problems at all when you get back on the ice?
You know, a little bit here and there. You know, my thing is more my vision. So when I broke my kind of my orbital floor, my left eye, and I kind of fractured a bunch of my face, the vision in my left eye, it really never came back. It's more similar to like the Al McGinnis injury where he hurt his eye. So I lost some peripheral vision in my left side. When the game gets so fast and so quick, that's when I started getting a little loosey-goosey. Fortunately for us old men, we tend to slow it down a little bit, so it helps me out quite a bit. And obviously, when I'm watching NHL games, I wear these special lenses that help me. But whenever I start feeling a little nauseous, I kind of pick up the signs a little bit quicker now because I'm so used to them. And I just take a couple shifts off. But I sure miss skating, and I miss being out there with the guys and just the camaraderie in the locker room. I mean, that's my favorite part. So just still being a part of that, it kind of brings a good life to me, and it kind of lights that fire a little bit.
Joey, how do you decompress, man, in the offseason? I know it's not the same as a player, and you mentioned Maroon's body is still going through it, but mentally you have to go through it too. What do you do? How do you relax when you're away from the rink?
Did you say off-season? Listen, I have three children. There is no off-season. This is more of an on-season than the actual season. Like, when the season's over, like, it's game on. Like, kids waking up, jumping on you all day long. Daddy, go to the pool. Daddy, I want to go to Disney World. Daddy, you know, so-and-so stole my toy. You know, it's nonstop, you know, between baseball and swimming. It just kind of keeps going. But, you know, that's how I fill my time. And it's just the best thing in the world. You know, being a father is just so incredibly fun. But when I'm not at the rink and calling games, it's pretty much just around these children, you know, 8, 6, and 4. So they're very young. They require a lot of attention. And I love being able to help my wife out because she pulls so much weight during the season. And to be able to pitch in and do that for her is awesome. So just spending time with the family. I don't golf much. Obviously, I don't fish much. At this age and this stage, it's really just about them, and I love it that way. And one day I'll get the golf clubs and dust them off soon.
So perfect segue when it comes to the kids. My little man, my son, started first grade today, and so we did what families do. You take that picture, that first day of school picture in front of the front door, holding up the chalkboard, and it says who your teacher is, and it says, you know, the date, and what you want to be when you grow up. My son, just a quick little background, Joey, my whole life has been baseball. It's all it is. That's what paid the bills. That's what the house that he's living in is baseball. You know what he said he wants to be when he grows up?
Hockey player.
A hockey player, dude. A hockey player. Because of the Blues. Like, he was so bought into the run and watching games with me and being a part of it. To me, stuff like that is so exciting that for the future of St. Louis kids. Like, the Blues going on a run like that means a ton.
Well, you know, the only better answer that your son probably could have had, and I should have said this in the first place, was the Blues broadcaster, like Joey Fatone. I mean, that would have been absolutely epic. If you were sending me a picture, I would have framed that in my office. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, my kids, to be honest with you, never showed any interest in hockey until this year. You know, I never forced them to do anything. But just seeing the run they went on, now my son, my middle boy, Harper, just talks about how he wants to be Alex Pietrangelo, and they start naming players. And it's so fun to see them, and they know their numbers and a couple stats. You go to school where I do drop-offs like you guys are starting to do because it's that time of the year. Amazing how many kids probably come up to you and me and just ask questions like, you know, random questions. Like, not just, like, surface questions like, is Ryan O'Reilly the best player? But, I mean, questions. These kids are smart. I had a 7-year-old come up to me the other day and say, are they going to sign Ivan Barbashev? When's Doug Armstrong going to get this deal done? I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I thought we signed Ivan Barbashev. I got to go back in my notes and figure out what's going on. So, you know, it is fun to see the kids so excited. There was certainly a buzz in June and all year for that matter. And it just really has carried over to the summer. And I know it's going to carry over to this year. My son actually just started learning to play because of the Blues season last year. And to your point again, they asked Kirkwood, you know, where he's going to play. And they have like 7 or 8 teams. They have over 100 kids signed up for Learn to Play. I mean, they've never had these kind of numbers before. Wow. So it's just a pretty wonderful, wonderful thing to happen in St. Louis.
Joey, in talking earlier about the physical toll the season takes and then trying to overcome that during the offseason, we spoke with Kerber yesterday or a couple of days ago, and he said it's not just that, it's the mental side of it. So as a player, as a coaching staff, how do you think they handled that, trying to get, I guess, mental rest, even though they don't have much of a time to do it?
You know what? Yeah, it's just one of those things where you just have to turn it around quickly. You got to figure out a way to do it. You know, I think that a lot of these players, you know, mentally, I think typically a player would take about 4 weeks off after the season's over physically. Like, you stay out of the weight room and stay out of the ice rinks. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what these players do. And when I talk to them when they come back to camp, how much, I always like to ask that question, how much time do you take off? How much time do you stay away from the rink? Because the mental side, like you're saying, that's the mental grind. That's just showing up every single day. And it's something silly like tying your skates. Like, you don't think, well, it's just tying your skates, but that's that mental wearing of and tearing of your brain just over and over. You're tying them twice a day on game days because of the morning skating games, things like that. So I'll be interested to ask them, you know, how much time do you take off? Now, with the shorter summer, you kind of expect them maybe to take less time off because the season's coming quicker. I almost think it's the flip side. I think maybe guys, instead of taking their typical 4 weeks away from the rink, I can see maybe 5-6 weeks. I think that physically, one of those things that coming into camp this year, I don't think it's going to be harped on as much as physical testing. You know, who gets the most pull-ups, who's in the best shape, because I really feel like, you know, with how far they went and how deep they went almost in the second week of June, you know, the trainers and the coaches alike, they're going to be saying, hey, just take some time off. And they're not going to be worried so much about the physical testing this year because they know that physically these players have been staying away from the rink, because that's just the most important thing, just getting away. I mean, we've all been there, right? You're at the office, and then you finally get a one-week vacation after like 6 months, and just being away, just turning your phone off. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really can mentally get you out of things, and nowadays, especially with social media. So for the guys just to completely put that stuff aside, go on vacations with their wives and their kids, and just kind of decompress and just shut it all out, just like put a blanket over the whole world just for a minute, just so they can kind of like gather themselves and enjoy the moment. Hopefully they do that enough, and mentally they'll be ready to go here in September.
Joey Vitale with us on 101 ESPN, and along those lines, I heard an interview with Craig Berube, and he said, hey, our young kids are going to get an opportunity for some minutes and some reps, because he's not going to work the regular players like he would in a normal training camp. So those young guys that didn't play an awful lot last year, the Mikolas on defense, the guys like Kyrou, even Blay and some of the other forwards that didn't, Zach Sanford, they'll get some minutes to impress the coaches here in this training camp.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, bingo. I mean, Mitch Ranke on the defensive end. You know, those kind of players right there, Bach, this new guy they're really talking a lot about, they're really heavy on. If I'm a young guy in this organization, like, I am chomping at the bit for training camp, because to your point, I don't expect Ryan O'Reilly to play more than 3 games. I mean, he may even play 2. Vladimir Tarasenko, same thing, 2, maybe 3, and that's going to be towards the second half. I came to Pittsburgh in training camp in 2010, and I remember when they won it in 09 the year before. I think Sidney Crosby played 2 of the last games. And again, because of how long they played the previous season. And I remember playing 6 of the 7 preseason games. So again, a perfect opportunity for me to go and then open some eyes while the older guys get some rest. So without a doubt, and the young guys are going to play a role this year. I know it, because, you know, the Blues were – fairly healthy last year, and I think that they should be, you know, knock on wood, very, very lucky how healthy they were at Spurs, especially down the stretch. I mean, we were playing with almost our full lineup. With look at the Boston Bruins, for example. Chara wasn't healthy. You know, they had a bunch of guys on the back end that maybe were beat up. So for how healthy they were, you can't expect that to happen 2 years in a row. So for a young guy in this organization, opportunities are going to be everywhere this year, and especially, again, with how long they played last year. You almost wonder if some of that wear and tear from that playoff hockey is going to come back and possibly haunt some of these players here. So it could, you know, be short injuries, but again, the same token, the Jordan Kyrus. This is their opportunity this year. You got to get out there. You just got to grab it. You got to do whatever you got to do to stay in this league and make a very difficult decision for your coach at the end of the game, saying, God, I can't send this guy back down. He's played that well.
Joey, after winning a Stanley Cup, is it possible for the Blues to come into 2019-2020 with a chip on their shoulder? Because they had one last year. Like, it was obvious when they played. Can you do that after you win a Stanley Cup?
I think you can. I think it's very hard, but I think you can. But I think it really just comes down to one thing. I think it just comes down to the core leaders of the team. You know, you look at a team that maybe – you know, wins the Stanley Cup, and you have to look at that group of core leaders, you know, the captain and some of the veterans that have been around for a while. What kind of demeanor do they have? What kind of disposition? Are they kind of the guys that maybe just, like, are going to take a step back now and think, okay, we won the Cup, let's just kind of relax a little bit? Or is it going to be the type of group, which I actually believe the St. Louis Blues are? You look at the Ryan O'Reillys and the Vladimir Tarasenkos. I mean, look at those kind of players. To me, that kind of core of leadership is a group that is not satisfied, and that's a group that day in and day out they're going to bring their best, and they're going to bring that leadership, and they're going to bring their professionalism every single night. And when you do that, I think if you get good goaltending, you have good systems, and you have good depth, which the Blues showed last year, they showed all those things last year. When you put all that together, I think they can come out with the exact same bite. I mean, I know Ryan O'Reilly, I've seen him, I talk to him on a weekly basis. This isn't a guy that just he plays a good game, he scores a couple goals, and he just feels good about himself. He's a guy that just keeps pushing every single day, no matter how good or how successful him or the team's doing. And that kind of attitude, it's infectious. And I think when you have a leader like that, I think you can't help but have everyone jump on board and play, hey, this is how this guy's going to play. We're all going to play the same way. Not to mention, you got a coach that's going to kick you right in the rear if you don't perform every single night. So I think that's a huge component, too. So I do believe with the coaching staff and the leadership that the St. Louis Blues have, they absolutely have every right to come in here with a chip on their shoulder and to win two in a row. And in recent history, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins did it. It is possible. It's not likely, but it is possible. And I think that with that group coming back, and we still got Ivan Barbashev signed, what's going to happen with Pat Maroon, we're not really sure. But other than those two, we're bringing back the exact same group, and that's a pretty encouraging thing.
Hey, Joey, before we let you go, I want to ask you about the Stanley Cup. I'll admit I overuse the word awesome, but 9 years ago I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and walking through that corridor with all the plaques, I was awestruck. It was like a religious experience for me. The only thing for me that has come close to that in its mysticism and magic and majesty is the Stanley Cup. The way people react around the Stanley Cup, whether it's veterans, people like Bernie Federico or Bob Plager, or people that have never been around it, it is an amazing object.
It really is. And I hate Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. Was it Lord of the Rings with like the gold ring that everyone like just like gaga over?
Yeah.
Is that Lord of the Rings? Is Lord of the Rings, I mean, to me, the Stanley Cup's like that, the ring from Lord of the Rings. I remember the bits and pieces of that movie where everyone wants a piece of it, and you're just in awe by it, and you can't get enough of it. And you hear about people at the parties, or you hear about people around town asking for it. People just can't get enough of it, and you know why? Because when you actually witness it in person, it blows you away. It's kind of the first time you ever go down Main Street in Walt Disney World and finally see Cinderella's castle. Like, pictures just don't do it justice. Mm-hmm. You just get goosebumps. It's just like, oh my God, there it is. You know, it's one of those crazy things, and I never had a chance to touch it as a player. And I'll never forget after they won it in Game 7 in Boston, I'm in the locker room hallway, and all the broadcasters and some of the staff are just kind of staying out of the way. We wanted the players just to do their thing, and it was amazing. They said, hey, Joey, or Curbs, or Panger, get in here. And they took us all in, and we're in the locker room, and you know, Colton Parayko fills this thing up with champagne. And I just get absolutely drenched with it. I got a chance to hold it up. And there's a memory I'll never forget. An incredible gesture by that team, and he just shows that the kind of character they have. Just genuine, nice people. But I remember holding it and just, like, looking at it. And, again, it's one of those moments that gives you goosebumps. Like, oh, my God, there it is. Like, all the history and just how much work, and you just see how much blood, sweat, and tears – goes into winning something like that, and finally it's yours, and like no one's going to take it from you. And these players were holding on to it like it's their own children. I mean, it was an amazing experience, but you're right, Randy. It's a wonderful trophy, most coveted trophy in all sports, in my opinion, the hardest to earn. And the Blues got it, and now it's just their job to defend it.
Joey V, great to hear your voice. We appreciate your time today. Training camp is just around the corner, and we'll be talking a lot as the season unfolds. And it's great to have you on our side. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait, Randy. Thanks so much, guys, for everything. Looking forward to the year.
That's Joey Vitale joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we're ready to answer all of life's toughest questions. Get your toughest question into the Hot Shots text line 65780. The Sports Six Pack is next on 101 ESPN. We like answering your questions. Send them into the Hot Shots text line 65780. And with your questions for us, here's Big Sizz.
Guys, the people want to know, when do you think you've seen enough of a player to stop projecting potential and to know really who a player is? Is it a certain age, certain number of at-bats, innings pitched?
Well, I think for a hitter,
I gave up on Jose Bautista.
I think a lot of people did. I remember facing Jose Bautista when he was with the Pirates, and I'm like, oh, he's just a guy. Like,
yeah.
And then he shows up, and I'm like, geez.
Like 7 years into his career, right?
Yeah.
That's atypical. I would say a couple of years.
I was trying to think like at bat wise, and I was going to be right around year and a half. So I was thinking like 700-800 at bats. I think you have a pretty good idea of what a guy can be, not to say he can't change. And as a pitcher, I have, it's less of an innings thing for me. It's more of a, like a year to year, because I like to see how guys evolve. If it's a starting pitcher, is he able to add a third pitch or a fourth pitch? I would say for pitchers, 2 years. I mean, if you kind of have a good idea.
I'd say a couple of years is about right for most guys, don't you think? I mean, not that you know exactly what they're going to be, but you can have a pretty good idea if they're going to be good or not. You know, if they come into the league at 25, and by the time they're 27 or 28, they're not showing dramatic improvement, they're probably not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 21 and you get called up, you're probably good to get that call up in the first place. But I think you're going to get more time. You probably should get more than like 3 or 4 years to decide whether or not you're any good.
And if you have ability and you might be being misused, the most recent examples are Gerrit Cole and especially Aaron Sanchez. All they had to do was change Aaron Sanchez's repertoire, and all of a sudden he becomes a viable pitcher again in Houston because he wasn't being utilized. And for some guys, and Brad, you've seen this more than me, because it's hard to develop command, but for some guys, it just kicks in. And all of a sudden, one day, something clicks and they develop command.
Mechanically.
Yeah.
That happened for Cliff Lee.
That's the biggest thing is somebody, you might get to a place where somebody finally says something, you're just like, holy crap, I've never even thought of that. Or I've never heard it that way. And all of a sudden, everything clicks mechanically. I'll tell you this, it is one of the best feelings in the world. And maybe anybody that can play golf probably can relate to this. When your swing is right, when your mechanics are right, when you're just striking at the perfect moment, man, there's no better feeling. And a lot of times there is that aha moment or the hit yourself in the head like, ah, you idiot. Why haven't you done this before? Sometimes it takes longer.
Here's a perfect example. It might happen for a guy like Daniel Ponce de Leon, who goes down and he's just brilliant at Memphis his last time out.
No, I think he is a good example because he's a guy that we see at the big league level where I think the game speeds up on him. And then he speeds up through his mechanics and he tries to do a little bit too much. Sometimes you got to be able to take a deep breath, sit back, and just execute pitches.
We've got a mic drop from Sam.
Last night I drove out to Kansas City to watch the Cardinals. And I got there, and the stadium was basically red. You know, the Cardinals were getting hits, and everybody was cheering for the Cardinals. And I don't really remember. I mean, I don't remember. I wasn't born for the 1985 World Series, so I don't really hate the Royals. Am I allowed to feel bad for Kansas City fans that, like, St. Louis took over their stadium and that their team is terrible?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Yep.
I hope they felt bad for us when their Chiefs came in here and took over the Dome for the Rams. But, yeah, especially because 4 years ago, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
You should feel bad for him.
And it's always been this way, though. Like when you go there, Cardinal fans travel really well. This has been happening for a long time, even happening in the good years. The tickets were a little bit harder to get your hands on, but it was still really red when it came to that
place. The first year, I was actually doing games the first year, which was 97, and it was that way. And people were setting up train trips across the state to go to Kansas City. And it was cool. It really is a great atmosphere. It's kind of like the Cards Cubs, but it's more one-sided.
Just wait till that high-speed rail happens.
Yeah, that's going to get there in like an hour or less.
I think it's like a half hour. Yeah,
will that really happen? Tremendous. Is that still on the table? Yeah,
apparently so.
I think within the next decade, I believe.
Would you take the first ride on it? Like, not the test ride, but like the first, like, hey, it's open up to everybody.
Yeah, I would.
For sure.
I'll take the second.
Would you take a ride on the trolley?
No, yeah. God, no, that hit everything.
It does.
Is that thing working now?
I think
so, you know what they're doing? They're
hitting
gonna
cars?
They're going to do, like, stand-up comedy shows on it.
Oh, really?
Well, that makes sense, because it takes, like, an hour, right, to get from Del Mar to Art Museum or whatever.
How far does that run? You live in there. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is not far.
From the loop?
History Museum.
Loop to the History Museum.
Yep.
So I'll never ride it. I'm not going to the History Museum, I don't think, anytime.
Why?
You can turn around.
Because I'm not
there.
Smart enough for that kind of stuff.
Well, that's why you go, going. So that you can find out more about history.
I like going to the Art Museum and looking at the naked ladies.
They're art, Randy.
You have a computer. You don't have to go to the...
Well done.
Have you ever, when you've gone to a Starbucks or a restaurant, changed your name when you... Maybe make a reservation, give your order, give them a different name?
I have.
I have not.
Me neither. I do the mobile ordering, and it's got your name saved. By the way, try the mobile ordering if you haven't done it. You place your order, and then by the time you walk in, it's sitting on the counter waiting for you. It's great. So, no, I have never done that.
I don't utilize Starbucks very often, but my kids do. So I'll go and buy coffee for my kids, and I went in one time, and they asked me my name, and I gave them Barack.
Did they believe you?
No, but they put it on my cup.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I've never done that.
Starbucks is kind of well known for screwing up names.
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were well known for being in Game of Thrones.
They are.
That is true. They did make it into Game of Thrones.
Didn't people last year put their name as Merry Christmas, like so that Starbucks employees would have to yell Merry Christmas or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
Huh. Yeah, I'll try that next time. Maybe I'll be like Anita. You know what I mean?
Anita what?
No, that was actually one we got in earlier. We did get a text that Andy Dick's mother, Anita, is probably really worried about him.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. That would be Anita Dick.
It's her name. Don't wear it out.
All right.
That's her name.
Yeah, I know. I set it up so it could just lay out there, but you just slammed it home. It's her name. I'm not sure that's her name.
This, by the way, is the best 11th grade show in history. In history.
You're giving us a lot of credit here.
Oh, man. 10th grade show, okay, whatever.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Does Michael Wacha get a qualifying offer?
No.
I don't think so.
You might be worried about him accepting it.
Exactly.
He would for sure accept it.
Is that it? Or are we? Question five. I'm not paying attention at all.
Cool.
I'm laughing.
Guys, when it comes to steak, sauce,
I'm thinking
no
of
sauce.
A steak. No sauce. Never had sauce on a steak. Probably never will at this point.
Huh. I like them. I don't... The only thing that I judge somebody on is if they put ketchup on their steak. Then
that's
pretty
gross.
Try to,
yeah.
And especially if you're going to a nice steakhouse and doing it. I've told you guys this before.
Have you seen any? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Reyes.
Okay.
We'd go to like nice steakhouses for dinner. He's like, can I get some ketchup? I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Now, they make A1, so I don't
A1's
begrudge
good.
Anybody that puts steak sauce on their steak. I just don't. I have I think I was telling you, Big Sis, I have some Citizen Kane's seasoning. I think I might have used that when we had the steak over at my house.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, and that really makes a difference.
If the Cardinals make it to the playoffs and maybe lose in a wild card game, for example, does that change the front office's approach in the offseason?
Has to. Yeah, because I think if you lose the wild card game, you really don't make the playoffs, kind of. You do, but you don't.
Oh, I think that the way that this was tabled was, do they think they're okay if they make it to the playoffs and lose a game? Like they're apt to do less if, in fact, they get there. My thing is no. Both ways, this team has to improve this offseason, and it's likely to be via trade, more so than the free agent market, because the market is just so thin overall. So I say no, looking at it in the way that it has to get better both ways.
There's got to be some significant improvement, especially considering maybe the outlook for the other two teams you're worried about isn't as great as we once thought it was going to be for 2020. So take advantage right now.
And you have a conundrum, because if you lose Marcell Ozuna, then you need to make two trades or get two guys. Yeah. So you've got to take care of that situation and get another guy. Plus, you absolutely need to get two starting pitchers, because this is probably Waino's last year and Walker's not going to be around. So you've got the two kids and you've got Michaelis. So you're looking at having to get two starting pitchers too. So you got a lot of work to do during the offseason. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. The Dallas Cowboys are having trouble keeping their triplets together. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. Should the NFL steal a page from the NBA's playbook with Larry Bird rights? We'll talk about it next on 101 ESPN. The NBA has a great rule in their CBA so that teams can keep players that have been stars for their team. Even though the NBA has a salary cap, they have what's called the Larry Bird exception, and that allows teams to exceed the salary cap to re-sign their own free agents at an amount up to what the NBA has as their maximum salary. To qualify as a Bird free agent, a player has to have played three seasons without being waived or changing teams as a free agent. Players claimed after being amnestied have their Bird rights transferred to their new team. The reason I bring this up is because we have seen NFL teams unable to keep stars. And right now, the Dallas Cowboys, poor fellas, are having a great deal of difficulty getting their triplet signed. Their quarterback, Dak Prescott, wants $40 million a year. The St. Louis and Ezekiel Elliott wants to be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid, running backs in the league. And they have a wide receiver, Amari Cooper, who's also negotiating for a new deal. And I think one of the things that the NFL should do with their salary cap, and I've thought this for a long time, is they should have something similar to a Larry Bird exception, where you can exceed a salary cap so that you can keep an iconic player in your town. Like, if Peyton Manning is too expensive, he doesn't, a certain percentage of his salary wouldn't apply to the salary cap, so that you can keep a team together and keep that player in that town.
It makes the overall product better if, in fact, you're doing so. And I don't think the teams struggle as much to keep their superstars, because quarterbacks, whether you're going to hem and haw over it, they end up getting their money. Yeah. They get paid. But the problem is the product around them gets worse, because you can't keep all of those other pieces, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be a superstar. And I think that the Cowboys are in a little bit of a different situation with three guys that are really guys. But a lot, look at the Seahawks. I mean, the Seahawks had to let go of a lot of talent, or let talent walk out the door, because they finally ended up having to pay for Russell Wilson. If you alleviated that problem, I think that you would have a better product overall. And then you have those superstar quarterbacks that actually are able to still have great, and I'm assuming this is more of a quarterback rule. Yeah. There are going to be exceptions to the rule. Aaron Donald is likely an exception to the rule, who's an absolute beast. Maybe he's the guy that you end up giving your quote-unquote Larry Bird rule to in the NFL if you're the Rams. But overall, I think it's a quarterback rule. I think that it makes the product better. You want star quarterbacks. You want to be able to keep them in your market so you have that, and you have somebody that fans can connect to. But you also want to have money to spread around so you feel like you have a chance to compete.
And you're rewarding teams who draft well. And I think that's maybe the obviously the most important idea here, is that if you draft a kid and he becomes a really good player for you, and you expected him to become a good player, you can keep that guy, and you can say, look what we've done. We've gotten this guy in our organization from the very ground floor of his career, and we're able to keep him, and he can play here forever. I think that's a nice reward, and that's something that teams should be able to do if they want to. Because I think look, we all like free agency. It's interesting. Trades can be interesting, though it's not as big of a deal in football as it is in baseball. But we like the idea, or at least I like the idea, of being able to draft a guy and have him in your organization the entire time and never have to worry about how much money you want to pay him.
When the greatest show on turf was happening, Jay Zygmunt, who was in charge of the Rams salary cap at the moment, told me all the time, he said, we can't keep everybody. We have to choose.
Right.
Right after they went to Super Bowl 36, they had to choose between Leonard Little or London Fletcher, one or the other. And it shouldn't have to be that way, especially when you have a good team. If you can have one guy that alleviates that pressure on the salary cap for your other top seven or eight, that makes such a huge difference. If at that time they would have had bird rights for Kurt Warner, they gave him a $45 million contract, then you can keep more guys. And granted, that doesn't help out Buffalo. They wound up signing London Fletcher, but you want to keep your iconic teams together, and I think this would be a good way to do it.
Well, and you can extend this to hockey as well.
No doubt.
I think it would be wonderful to have Vladimir Tarasenko in a Blues uniform forever, and that might happen anyway. You know, they might just prioritize him and say he's got to be paid regardless of what it does to the rest of the team. But there could also become a time where they say, we don't want to be involved in a situation with him like the Blackhawks were with Taves and Kane, and they were spending so much money on two players, and they were having difficulty with everybody else and had to consistently turn over the roster just to make things fit. You should be rewarded as an organization for drafting well, finding the right talent, and then you can say, hey, throw the cap out the window because we can do whatever we want to keep these guys that we identified as young players and we hit on in the draft. You should be able to do that.
Do you think if this were up for a vote among NFL owners that it would pass? Because I feel like a lot of owners just use this as a total scapegoat. Like,
we can't do it.
Because that's more money going out the door. I mean, it ends up being net more cash.
And Jerry Jones actually is one of the guys that would prefer to keep his guy around. He complained about losing DeMarcus Ware yesterday.
Right.
And yesterday when he was talking to the media, he complained about when he couldn't keep DeMarcus Ware because of the salary cap. He's one of the guys that would probably vote to have bird rights. But there's no question. Stan Kroenke, he doesn't care. He wants a hard cap, and he limits on what those players make because he wants his own pocketbook to be fattened.
I feel like a lot of owners would probably like that, where they would just use it as an out and say, you know what, we're good. The system's fine. You know, we're all making money. We don't need to spend a little bit more. I do think that that's a very short-sighted view if you're looking at
it. I agree with that.
I do believe that you have the opportunity not only to just make your team better, but when it comes to keeping signature players around and elite players, there's a connection there. There's a connection with the fans. To me, that connection brings in more and more money. Like when you have a quarterback that is around, or you know, whatever elite player it ends up being, people want to come see him. They want to keep going in. They want to keep pouring their money, their assets into it.
Let's use an example here. And I still don't think the Blues would have given David Backes the term. But if they wouldn't have had a limitation on what they could pay him for a three-year contract, I think they would have liked to have kept him around. They had all those people that had the number 42 sweaters. I think that they probably would have kept him around if they would have been able to pay him above the cap as that one guy.
Yeah.
And kept him for only 3 years.
So. And then he'd have gotten his Stanley Cup.
Yes, he would have. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, do you have any idea how many games the Mets need to win to make the playoffs? Neither does Mike Francesa, apparently. That's next, before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.